regular February 24th Othello City Council meeting. And tonight I'd like to ask Dan Deaver to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1.3 on our agenda is roll call. Tonight, Eugene Bain has asked to be excused. He had a medical issue, and I would entertain a motion to excuse Eugene Bain from tonight's meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The rest of the council is present. And at this time, I'd like to move on to item 1.4, citizen input. Is there any citizen present in the meeting tonight who would like to, has a prepared statement? Sean Bates, is there anyone else? Mark Spohr, we'll start with Sean Bates and then move to Mark Spohr.
Good evening, Mayor, members of council. For the record, my name is Sean Bates. I live at 1156 East Juniper Street. And I want to share with you a letter I got in the mail here just today, dated February 21st, which is last Friday, says, regarding email letter dated 2/17/2014, Mr. Crozier and Mr. Bates. Preliminarily, please be advised the city is required to respond to public records requests pursuant to Chapter 42.56 RCW. City is not required to, nor does it routinely, respond to requests for information or research. This is in response to your second letter, also dated February 17th via email. Our research concludes that we have provided you the records and cannot locate any more. My staff and I have studied the document and cannot identify any other specific documents that you are requesting copies of. To help us respond to any public records requests, you would need to sufficiently describe a public documents for copy or review. Sincerely, Wade Ferris, Othello City Administrator, CC Catherine Kinnison, City Attorney.
Sean, can I stop you for a moment?
Sure.
For the benefit of the council, what were the documents that were requested?
The 88-point list that we have compiled is, I believe this is in reference to that. Yes, Mr. Ferris?
It is in reference to that, yes.
Very good. Okay.
However,
go on.
However, what I was asking about, since another letter out, but
yeah, it's planes, trains passing in the night.
As we looked at that, we were having a hard time identifying specific documents. Okay, there's a lot of story boards there, a lot of issues that you guys had that were identified, but not specific documents. So we're not unwilling to provide documents, as you'll see, forthcoming. And we just need more specifics. On
easy for you to say
what you need, yeah, right. So we're not reluctant to do that. We're going to do it when you specify what you need.
Okay. And before you continue, I need to ask the city council: are you aware of an 88 item? Well, you've been out of this country, Gina, but are you guys aware of an 88-point complaint issued or of the city from Mike Crozier? Have you seen that document?
No.
Okay, so whatever you're going to reference, they've not seen. Go on.
Okay. What I have here in my hand is a copy of a document that I got from here at City Hall. It says Policy of Othello, or City of Othello Policy and Procedure, subject disclosure of public records and information, effective date November 1st, 2011. Approved by Mayor Tim Wilson. And I want to be as brief as possible because time is a precious commodity. Purpose says to establish the policy and procedure pursuant to RCW Chapter 42.56. These rules provide information to persons wishing to request access to public records of the city and establish processes for both requesters and city staff that are designed to best assist members of the public in obtaining such access. Now, what I want to say and help to illuminate something for us all is that this, it says disclosure of public records and information. Information has been at the core of what we have been asking about. And the reason why it's been at the core of what we've been asking for, information. Information is because this policy was originally written back in 1986 by a guy my age who is more of a seasoned citizen now. And it was to provide absolute transparency of our local government. So I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. We're looking for documents and information. Information. Thank you.
Right, but it was recently brought up that there was action taken where you guys, the council can vote at workshops and take action. I totally disagree with that. I don't think that's the correct process. I don't know how a workshop was different from a meeting nowadays. Why don't you just call it a meeting? To me, a workshop is an informal process, interaction with the public where we don't have to worry about action. So I strongly recommend that you go back to where action cannot be taken during the workshop.
Before you leave, we may have back and forth for a minute. Catherine, do you want to address that? Or do you want to, are you prepared to address that?
Well, I can simply make a comment, Mayor, that if the council wishes to have a meeting where it can take action, then it needs to provide for that in its ordinance, which the council has done here. And so if the council calls it a workshop meeting but provides in the ordinance that action is anticipated or is something that the council would have the ability to do with that meeting, then it is a lawful meeting and the action taken at that meeting would then be lawful. It's really a policy decision beyond that for the council as to whether it wishes to restrict its activities at any particular meeting to just discussion instead of action as well.
So, thank you, Catherine. So, Mark, you're not talking or speaking to this with regard to whether we legally can. You're asking about the city council and its policy of doing it.
Yes. Because I went back, because the first thing when I saw that, I was horrified, because I told my wife I would have never voted for that, and I went back and looked in the minutes. I was not on council when you guys did that, just to be sure about that. But then I saw on it that the change, it actually required, if you look at the minutes back then when they did that, that they had to go back and change the municipal code, I believe, or some other aspect to reconfirm that.
And so I don't know if
that was ever done. But I don't agree that it's legal or disagree. I think it's bad policy. Another thing I've seen come up in council that I did not agree with, excuse me, is under new business, somebody brought up something that was totally not on the agenda, that wasn't presented to the public, and it was brought up under new business, and the council voted on that. And I felt, I don't remember what I did, I think I turned my back and boycotted, but I totally disagree with that. That those are two circumstances, a workshop, and if you bring it up for the first time in a new business, I do not believe by policy, I don't know if it's legal or not, that council should vote on that. To me, the public should always have time to get input and be aware of what's going on.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Mark, I just want to address something really quick. And I've been on the council quite a while. We've always kept our workshops as a non-voting.
Right.
But since I've been on the council, other things have come to light. What I'm going to read you is actually from the MRSC, Municipal Research, and this is them quoting the Open Public Meetings Act. And it says, the act establishes some basic procedural requirements that apply to all meetings. of a governing body, whether they are regular or special meetings, all meetings of a governing body are under the Open Public Meeting Act, either regular or special meetings. It does not matter if it is called a study session, a workshop, or a retreat. It is either a regular or a special meeting of the council. So basically that statement, even if it is a workshop, it's still a meeting of the council. And vote can be taken at a meeting of the council. But I think this council has also said that we really don't want to vote at those workshops. But every once in a while, there is a circumstance because our workshops fall on the first meeting of the month. Sometimes there's that fifth Monday in a month, and we have a long period of time between council meetings, that if we do have a particular situation that we need to, that the option is there, that we could take a vote on it. But I think our decision from the council is we're not going to try to make decisions at those workshops if we don't have to.
Okay, well that leaves still a gray area for the public, whether we need to come and give input at a workshop, because we don't know if you're going to make a motion or not.
And usually it'll be posted on board docs, and hopefully, because we're going to need to see it too. I believe the Friday before the council meeting, it'll be posted on board docs. And that's when the council will actually have a chance to see it too, at the same time to look at it.
See, and what you quoted from the municipal?
It's from MRSC,
yeah.
And it's them on their statement about the Open Public Meetings Act.
See, and with them, and respectfully with you, I totally disagree. To me, as I mentioned in the workshop, the other thing is you mentioned is that I felt about since I was on council is we went to an out-of-town retreat. And I think that I felt bad about that. I think it was totally wrong because by that definition, we could have gone out of town, had a meeting, voted on things, and I don't know how else you would get the public not to participate and go out of town and call it a retreat and then not realizing that you have the prerogative to take action. I just think that that's bad policy. So one, going out of town, and two, calling it a retreat or a workshop or with the things they listed there and being able to take action. I don't agree with the whole concept.
So Mark, the heart and the spirit of what you're saying is historically we've not done this. And then action was changed in order to accommodate the council, I guess.
And I, to Ken's point, yes, I wouldn't have agreed with it, but it would have been nice on workshop maybe to take care of some business. To me, if business is that, there's provisions that if you have an emergency, you can have a special meeting, and we've done it before for whales and that. But
and that's where
I just like mulling it over at a workshop, giving the public time to digest it, knowing formal action is not going to be taken till a meeting. And that, under the new process, that's not happening now. And I just don't agree with it. I've talked to some other people who don't either. So I would encourage you to go back to a system where you only take action when you call it, quote, a meeting. Because you can call it, apparently you can gloss it up however you want and still take action, which I don't think is right.
Thank you, Mark. Is there any discussion from the council? Any comments you want to make about that?
Well, I agree with Ken that I don't believe that we want to take any action on things unless they're at a workshop, so unless it's something, and the instance I can recall is when we had maybe something like a grant that came available that had to be turned in by a certain date. You had to take the action on it immediately. But I also wouldn't have any problem with us turning the workshop into a regular meeting, and then it just wouldn't be an issue.
Changing the title of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. An interesting point, Mark. Spore. Thank you. Comments are noted. I think the council probably is going to need to have some further discussion about it. And if the council decides it wants to take some action to change our existing practice, then we will take the appropriate steps. If the council is satisfied with the way we do business currently, then they probably won't take that action. Is that correct? Okay. So no action will be taken on it tonight. Let's move to item number two. Still on item 1.4, citizen input. Is there any more citizen input here for tonight? Mike Crozier?
Hello, my name is Mike Crozier. I live at 625 Left Avenue North here in Othello. I've been a resident of this town for about 45 years. I wanted to provide you in a role of a teacher and teach you a little bit about the history of disclosure in Othello. In 1976, we moved to this town, and Ted Muscott became mayor. Lyle Messner was mayor at that time. Ted was mayor afterwards. But Lyle asked me if I would not write a disclosure policy that was so tight a button couldn't squeak through. So I wrote this policy, and it was Disclosure of Documents and Information. I wrote this policy, and it was adopted by the city, and I have a copy of it in New York, I believe. I moved away from here in 1986 and went to New York, and in the year 2000, I sent a PRA to the city of Othello before I moved back here and asked for a copy of this 1986 disclosure document that I wrote for Lyle Messner and Ted Muscott. And Amon Sheldon sent it to me after some wrangling back and forth. I guess that's a plot way to put it. He was then congratulated in a letter that's in your file by James Whitaker, the city attorney, for providing me that. And we have a copy of that correspondence. We weren't supposed to see it because it's an attorney-client thing, but we did see it because it was in a box of stuff that we had asked for under Public Records Act. In 2011, in November of 2011, well, let's put it this way. We're at 2000 now. As soon as Mr. Sheldon disclosed that, I'm sure he read that, and he came out with a new policy, which was signed by Mayor Ochoa, which completely took away a lot of the restrictions that the city of Othello imposed on itself in terms of dealing with the public and disclosing public documents and information. Then again, he left the thumbprint, and that's the title on this new document. Then we go fast forward to 2011, when November, when he revised that for Mayor Wilson, and again eroded all the people's rights to what was in to the contents of that document. In the meantime, we had asked for an additional copy to replace the one that we have in our files in New York, and that wasn't forthcoming. So we suggest that it was destroyed sometime between sending it to me in New York in 2000 and the new policy being written in 2000, because Sheldon had his hands on it. I would suggest, because of the extreme transparency, that if we can locate most of the parts and pieces to that, that it be reconstructed, because the citizens' right to know in this community has been severely abridged, especially with the modifications that occurred in November of 2011 after we sent a request for information that was about 13 items long, and Sheldon finally realized that he had to furnish documents and information according to that policy. It's always been our policy to furnish documents and information that we have. When I was on council, it's like, hey, you know, this all belongs to the citizens, and so consequently we wrote a more restrictive set of rules and imposed them on ourselves than the state did. One of the interesting things that happened is after I wrote this policy, I want to say about 1998, I got a call from some people in the legislature, because we had a 5-day requirement to deliver documents and information and a bunch of other things that are actually part of the law now. And they asked me where we came up with all this and everything else, and I spent several hours in New York on the phone with them, pulling my files out of my office there and telling them how this thing evolved. So I guess, if anything, I would like to implore you to try to get back to what those original rules that we imposed on ourselves were, because it gives the government total transparency in everything it does to every citizen in the community, where the current rules and regulations have pretty well prostituted that. Thank you.
Michael. If I understand you correctly, what you're asking is, in a nutshell, find the 86 guiding document for public disclosure, the rules the City Council adopted via ordinance, and go back to that.
Yes, document. I don't know how you're going to do that, because we feel we have ample evidence that they were intentionally destroyed. We've asked Debbie, I think on two occasions, to search her files and see if she could come up with that, and she's not been able to locate anything. So whether it exists or not in your files, I don't know. But there should be some sort of a record to it, because it was done on an IBM computer, so it was in a very early edition of Microsoft Word. And I've looked through my files, my computer files, and I don't have a copy of that file. It might be on a disk in there. But whatever it is, there are specific caveats that went into the thing that made it. And I can remember some of them. Debbie and I emailed each other back and forth about what was in it, you know, and had discussions about that. And I've asked when that came out of it, you know, when that specific caveat came out of it that made that information accessible to the public. But this has always been about documents and information, not just the document, but the information. And you are fairly well aware, Mr. Mayor, that we wouldn't really know about what was taken out of the street fund program around the city if we weren't allowed to have documents and information. Because that's how we gained access to that, was through requests for information.
Michael, so I know you, I'm aware that you were on council in 85, 86. You say this was a document that was brought to council and passed at council?
This was a document that was a council policy. It was I want to say it was brought to council. There was a consensus that this should be the policy. It was like a resolution that the commissioners have. It wasn't passed as an ordinance.
Okay, that's what I was asking, because if it was...
I would request, once we locate this, that we pass it as an ordinance.
Because if it was passed as an ordinance, it's going to be a part of public record already of the minutes of back then. And also, there is record of discussions at the meetings of back then of different topics brought up.
Those records were originally on cassette tapes, and those cassette tapes don't exist. Isn't that correct? You sent me a document that said you don't have any of those cassette tapes anymore. Yeah.
But
And they've not been changed. And those, well, what happened at one time, all those cassette tapes just got purged.
Okay. But I know the written record of it is all on available through the internet, through the Ofella webpage, because that's how I researched the half-cent sales tax that you and a fellow council member helped push across,
is
by going back and researching back at that time. So that should be available on the web, too.
Yeah. We have looked back there to do it, but this was written before I was on council. The parts of it were actually written in the early 1980s for Lyle Menzer, and then it was actually finished up for Ted Muscott after 1986.
Thank you. Is there any discussion of the council?
I have a question.
Yes.
They said they're getting the documents, correct, that they're asking for?
Yes.
But I don't understand what's the difference between the information they're requesting and the documents they're requesting. The documents should be covered with information.
Spencer, can you take a microphone over to Mr. Crozier?
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I could do it without the microphone, but that's okay.
So what's the difference
between what's the difference between a document and information? A document would have been, let me see all of the sales tax records for the last 15 years. The information would have been, how did you spend that on the street fund? And the reason why you'd need both documents and information, because you'd need the correlation. And it wasn't until we asked for that we saw a little table here at council meeting that showed less than the $600,000+ that was received in terms of half-cent sales tax. Only two-thirds of that was going into the street fund. Now, like Mr. Johnson said, and his dad was involved in this, we had a very heated discussion in this community about giving council more money and not putting strings on it. In other words, there are people that were on council that felt you do not ask for more tax money unless you tell people what you're going to spend it on. You don't tell them you're going to put it in a general fund, which is like a nebulous black hole that sucks up all light, all matter, all everything. And there's no accountability for it. So that's the difference between documents and information. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Okay, and I have a question in your mind. You, and for the benefit of the council, you submitted to myself and the city a 32-page document with 88 points of contention, and some of those you would have to consider that you were looking for documents and information.
Yes.
And yet the public disclosure says you have 5 days to produce it, unless the complexity of the request would require more time. And
I believe it also just says in there that if you want, if because of the constraints of the size of the thing, you can ask for more time too. It gives you that option. Mm-hmm.
So Was it your expectation the city was going to answer 88 points of contention in 5 days?
No, not at all.
Okay.
We knew that it was going to take probably 90 days. Last time that we gave you a PRA, large PRA request, it was, I want to say it was about 26 items, and we worked with Debbie and didn't really actually receive all those 26 items until about 5 months later. Some of the things that we saw, because they were to answer specific PRA requests, a specific paragraph in the document, were not complete. And we made comments about that under your surveillance camera out here after we'd been through the box 3 or 4 times. And magically, those things showed up the very next time in the box, labeled as a response for that particular number of public records request. So, and this was 3, 4, 5 months after the due date. Well, when we can't come here to look at a specific response, we were stuck out here at this little table looking at plans that are 3 or 4 times the size of that little table, with people running in and running out. Not a reading room like we get when we go down to the Department of Energy in Tri-Cities, et cetera, et cetera. So there was like every turn, twist, and conniving thing that could be accomplished so that we didn't actually get, see, or understand our public documents and information. And today, some of the things that are on that original list have not been addressed, like the as-built.
I'm going to have to cut you off. We have a meeting, the rest of the meeting to conduct.
Yeah, I know.
So I think you answered my question.
Okay.
Is there any other input, questions, or from the council?
Yeah, I've got a quick question.
Yes.
Our current ordinance on public records
to?
Request to Catherine. Is in accordance with the RCW?
Your current policy is in accordance with the state statutory requirements. I would note, just for the record, that the state legislature has revised, as has case law, numerous times the public records requirements under state law since 1986.
We're under exactly what the state says that we need to be doing. I don't really see any reason to address our ordinance or our policy.
Anybody else want to comment?
I'd just like to get to the bottom of this point of contention with these issues so that we could move on and move to the future with being a new council member and hashing out things that are, I don't know, how many years old?
Mostly it all just goes back 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
Okay, water under the bridge happened, done, over with, we can move forward. Well, what's the contention?
The contention is some of the things that we intend to are actually...
Okay, hold on. Can you give him the microphone again, please?
Some of the things that we contend are actually illegal. Now, let me give you an example of it. You have a councilman up there that testified in the beginning of the TBD issue and the institution of the TBD that she saw a document from a state legislator, from a state individual, from a state authority that said, if we don't institute this TBD, that we wouldn't be eligible for future funds.
Now, I'm going to stop you right there because, number one, I never said I saw a document, and number two, what I said was that in discussions with people who administer the grants from the state, it has been stated that eventually they are going to take into account that if we have not done everything that the state has given us, every tool that they have given us, if we have not used those, that our priority on those grants would go down. There was no document, never said that, and you can go back and look at the record.
I wouldn't look at the records because this is all on CD, and I believe I have a copy of that CD.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to cut off the discussion. I think we've had enough. I think you're going to have to live to fight another day on these. In other words, I understand, Mike, from you and Sean, this is ongoing. So make it brief, please.
Yes, I'd like to respond to Mr. Lyles. You're kind of catching me flat-footed here because I don't have them in front of me. It is 33 pages. It's fairly extensive. I'll be more than happy to come back to council and discuss this matter with you in the future.
Prepared. Thank you. All right. You can retrieve the microphone. Thank you, Spencer. Is there any additional citizen input? Moving on in our agenda, item number two, approval of the agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those, motion's been made and seconded to approve the agenda for tonight. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item three, the consent agenda, approving items 3.1, 3.2, and 3.3, the approval of the City Council minutes of February 10th, the approval of the accounts payable checks, and the call for bids for official newspaper. I would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. This time, item 4.1, I'd like to call Lynette Carruthers to give us a city beautification report.
Good evening, Mayor Logan and council members. My name is Lynette Carruthers, and I live at 830 South Skylark Way. And what we'll be looking at tonight is the next phase of the Main Street lighting and beautification project. And most specifically, we'll be looking at the prototype block that we're going to be putting in place up between 14th and 13th Avenue, and the infrastructure costs and the funding for that phase of the project. And the infrastructure funding will need to be in place before we can put the elements on that prototype block. And just for a quick update, this is the light a picture of the light that will be going up on our prototype block. There will be six of them. They're 21 feet total. 5 feet is embedded in the ground, and 16 feet is above ground. This is a stress-free concrete pole. There are places in the state, and several of you council folks have heard me say this before, where these lights have been in place close to 100 years. So this is a light that we will have for some time. These are the lights that have been delivered. These are up by the water tower, up by the swimming pool. And as I say, we have six lights ready to go, almost 1,000 pounds piece here. These are the stockpile planters that will be going on Main Street, and you're already beginning to see them in the scapes along Main Street. This one was just put in place down at the library. This one is in place up at Clifton Larson Allen in their entryway. And this one has been placed. This big guy will not be out on the street. This is more a landscape focal point urn, and this will be in the landscape down at CBHA. There will be one up at the hospital. This one is in place at the library, but this big guy will not be on the street. Okay, do you want to go back? We're not ready for this yet. So what we're going to be discussing tonight is a request for infrastructure costs, or to help with infrastructure costs. And to keep infrastructure installation costs below $40,000, it has been determined that we can invoke RCW 3521-278 that allows a city to contract with a service organization for public improvement projects. And folks, I believe you received a copy of that RCW with your agenda memo this evening. The Othello Beautification will be the designated community service organization. Under this RCW, the city can keep the bid local as opposed to going out to public bid. We can work with our local contractors, can keep the jobs at home, and keep the cost, as mentioned before, below $30,000. This RCW allows the city to donate up to $25,000 a year to a service organization for a public improvement project. This is the local bid for the prototype block infrastructure that has come in. Farmers Electric, $21,198, and this includes the boring for the electrical and the water line that will be going in on either side of the block for the elements that will be placed on the prototype block. Dug excavation, the concrete and dirt work is coming in at $11,847, a total $33,045. Adams County Development Council has agreed to be Beautification's fiscal sponsor in lieu of Beautification not having a nonprofit status or a 501c3 status. This is condoned in the IRS codes under 501c3 codes. So, and we're revisiting looking at the 501c3 status, but it can take up to a year once application is received by the IRS to get that 501c3 status. And I know of an organization in town that they're working on a year and a half and they still haven't heard. So time is of the essence here. And if the $25,000 is approved to move forward with the infrastructure for the prototype block, ACDC will be the routing agency for Beautification for payments to our contractors. And this process has been researched and approved by our city attorney, or we would not be up here presenting tonight. As you can see, there will be an $8,000 shortfall. So Beautification will be involved in some fairly serious fundraising here in the next while, if this $25,000 is approved. And there's also a possibility of a grant through Adams County that the city could apply for to help with this additional $8,000. So the Beautification Committee at this point is recommending that Council approve the request for $25,000 in funding assistance for help with the infrastructure for the Main Street Lighting and Beautification Project. Questions?
So I want to ask Spencer, there's, in the memo, it says that the $25,000 request would come from the general fund?
No. I'm the original issue. We have a few different options. General fund is one of the options.
Let me back up. Is this a budgeted expenditure in our 2014 budget?
No.
No, at the time that we were, when we created the budget, we didn't know what the expense would be or even what to budget for, so it was impossible to do it at that time. I met with the finance committee about this $25,000 and presented a few different options. There were four different options that I see. There's a general fund, like you said. There's a street fund. There's a general fund, street fund. We have, further down, we have real estate excise tax dollars and utility tax fund. That those are available pots of money for this project. The recommendation or the conclusion that we came to at the finance committee meeting is that the street fund would be the best place to take this from. That would leave the utility tax dollars as they are, and we would still be able to we wouldn't be touching our REIT dollars either. In our street fund, we have an estimated $146,000 that we'll end this year with, and so the $25,000 would go against that.
And lighting is a permissible street fund expenditure.
Yeah.
Council?
One other thing that we discussed was that the grant would be for, we would try to get the grant for $50,000, not just $8,000. And that would try to cover all the cost. And that's through Adams County.
Usually in agreement, good. Is there any comments or any questions you have of Lynette?
No, I think you did a good job preparing this.
Excuse me, Ken?
I think you did a good job preparing this and showing us what we need, and appreciate the hard work and effort that you've put into this. I know you put a lot of time in getting to this, and I know it's been very stressful at times for you, and I really appreciate that, especially spearheading this project and benefiting our community.
We've got a wonderful group of folks working with me.
Yes, thank you, Lynette, very much. So, there's no more questions of Lynette? Okay, she's free to sit down.
Actually, I do have a question.
Lynette, there's one more question.
When is the grant payable? Is it just something you apply for and then they decide if they're gonna do it and then they pay you?
It's my understanding, you're talking about the Adams County grant?
Right.
It's my understanding, reading through the grant, that grant can be applied for at any time and can be awarded at any time. Unlike most of the grants out there, you have a, and Corey, I'm not sure if I'm speaking to your question specifically.
That was the answer I was looking for, actually.
It can be applied for and awarded at any time because it's more or less a local grant as opposed to many of the other grants out there that have a very, very definite time frame that you have to work within. And so it would be a matter of getting our act together here and getting a grant written and submitted.
I could probably address that grant a little bit because I found out a lot more about it at our last Adams County Development Council, and this is where we were told about it. The money comes from what the county receives. It's called 0.09 monies. They receive a portion of sales tax, which is to be used towards economic development projects as such. The county administers that process. They use some of the monies for some projects that they use for economic, and also they also put away, bank some money for projects throughout the county that different cities or organizations have that they could apply for. The maximum amount is $50,000 that you could apply for. After you apply for it, it is reviewed by a committee that the county has. And after the recommendations are made by that group that reviews it, they will review exactly the criteria to make sure you meet all the criteria and exactly how much they will give you in a dollar amount. And after they do that, then they forward it to the county commissioners who make the final approval on it.
Anyone else? Thank you, Lynette. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to approve the funding request from the Othello Beautification Committee.
I'll make that motion.
I second it.
Seconded. We have a motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Do we need to put in the motion what fund we're taking it out of? Or?
Okay. Making a motion to approve the Othello Beautification Committee's request for $25,000 in funding assistance taken from our street fund.
Yes.
For the Main Street lighting project.
Okay. So you want to withdraw the first motion?
Or I don't know if I can just make that the motion.
That is the motion. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's the one that you seconded?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion there? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. I want to go back to the exchange that we had here a minute ago with Mr. Crozier and the council. One of the things, and I apologize, whenever you address the city council, the policy of the city council is not to, in our meetings, to specifically identify or make accusation against a particular council member. So I'm going to ask you to, in the future, make your comments to not just you, anyone, that you would make those comments to the council as a whole and not to any individual, please. Thank you. Let's go on to the consideration of our social media policy 4.2.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight, I have come to discuss the proposal of a social media policy for the city of Othello. Some council members may remember at the council workshop on February 3rd, we reviewed the proposed social media policy for the city, which we currently don't have in place at the moment, obviously, or we wouldn't be accepting one. But it aims to put in place a Facebook page for the city of Othello to begin with. And that will be a way of an additional way of disseminating information to our citizens, whether it's closures, building updates, construction updates, projects that might take place within the city, webinars we might be having, anything like that. Just kind of, like I said, an additional way to get information out to our citizens. Obviously, there are a lot of people who use social media or, you know, just even use the internet in place of newspapers and other forms of news. So it's just, like I said, another way to kind of get the word out there. So within the policy, the city administrator is able to authorize one person, aside from the department head from each department, to update the Facebook page. We'll have one page itself. The city of Quincy has one, just like what we're proposing. And each person that represents the department will be responsible for posting any updates or any information they have, any events going on for their department. And then all of the approvals will be made possible through the social media approval form, which is on page 8 of the social media policy that you were provided. And that just basically is a good way for us to keep track of who has permission to be able to access the site, and also so any changes that we want to make or the city administrator would like to make, in the future we can kind of track that. So along with our records keeping, the RCW on keeping records and public records requests, that'll just be another way for us to really be able to monitor that and keep more detail on kind of who has access to that. So the policy also guidelines, or also sets guidelines for what people or representatives of the city can post on behalf of the city. I mean, obviously using professional decorum when posting for the city, but also rules and regulations as to what citizens and other people accessing the site can post. So that really helps to kind of protect everyone at the city and kind of make sure there's not any harassing language, there's nothing that's illegal or just, I guess, questionable. It kind of just helps to keep a professional appearance. And so the policy itself will be linked to the website, and that will be able to be posted through the Facebook page. So our insurance authority, the Washington City's Insurance Authority, they've reviewed this and approved it, and so has Catherine Kinnison. So with that, I wanted to propose the acceptance of the social media policy for the City of Othello.
Thank you, Molly, for all your work.
Thanks.
It's been ongoing. Has the council reviewed the policy? This really just kind of brings us into the information age. Is that correct, Molly?
Mm-hmm. Better late than never.
Yeah, right. So any questions of Molly from the council? Any discussion you want to have? With that, Molly has asked us if we would approve this. So at this time, I would entertain a motion to approve our social media policy with regard to Facebook.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Motion's been made and second to adopt a social media policy. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mom. Okay. Since you're up there, I suppose, Molly, we should go to item 4.3, consideration of discounted pool rate for pool pass pre-sales and pool employee pay scale. Proceed.
Thank you. So this, what we come to the council for tonight is kind of, I guess, an overall update on our pool employee pay, as well as kind of what we've been talking about with the pool committee in recent weeks, as well as to talk about some pre-sale passes for the pool this season. So to begin, the first item we have is to just go over with the council what we are proposing. In the budget process for 2014, the Parks and Rec Committee and the pool committee and staff reviewed, basically it was, we knew that there was gonna be an update or there was gonna be an increase in minimum wage this year. We had allotted for a 10-cent increase, but the minimum wage increased by 13 cents this year. So we have adjusted the pool pay as necessary so we can be, I guess, compliant with the law. But also, one thing staff and the pool committee had agreed to do, and we are coming to council with, since it is a change in pay and what we look to do was to basically create more of an incentive program for our staff members to come back to the pool each year. It's definitely helpful to have, well, not only to have, seasoned employees, but to also have employees that are very comfortable with where they work. They know the in and outs, the rules, and but also to have staff that returns that our customers and the pool patrons can rely on every season, because that really, they bond with those kids, and they know who the regulars are, they know their names, and it just really helps to kind of create that community atmosphere and to increase our attendance at the pool. So what we look to do is to create a three-year incentive program. And before, when we had our pay, we were starting out above minimum wage. So we kind of took everything back and started at minimum wage, and then created every year there's a 10-cent increase, and it was it's capped at 3 years. And so you'll see that in the attached pool employee pay scale that we have proposed. And so like I said, it's a three-year incentive program, but generally speaking for lifeguards, their certification is valid for 2 years. So what we hope to do with that third year is if they do decide to come back, we get them their certification, it's valid for 2 years, and we hope that maybe we'll even have them for a fourth year because they already have everything in place to be able to come back to the pool again. They have that certification. So we hope that that would be somewhat of an incentive for them to return, and that really helps us with our staffing and also, like I said, for the patrons to be comfortable at the pool. So the attached is the proposed pay scale for 2014. And then in addition, because this is also a pool item, one thing that I have been approached about and the pool has been in the past is the pre-sale of season passes for the pool. A lot of times when the pool first opens, it's very busy and it's hard to kind of get, to reduce the lines and get people in and out of there as quick as possible because the kids want to be in the pool as soon as they can. And so looking back on the information that we had, back in 2010, we did do a pool pass pre-sale for season passes, which was roughly about a month long, and it discounted both individual passes and family season passes by 10%. And that, it proved successful. There was at least 10 passes that were sold, and so that's 10 passes that, you know, weren't waiting in line, or 10 families, given however many family members they have, that weren't waiting in line to get their pass at the beginning of the season. So one thing that we look to do, and the pool committee has approved, is to propose to the council the ability to pre-sale individual and season passes this year. We would do it from April 1st to May 5th, and rather than doing a 10% discount just to keep everything nice and clean, we'll do a $10 discount for individual passes, which are regularly priced at $70, and so they will cost $60 with the discount, and then family passes will be discounted by $15, and they'll cost $155. So, like I said, we hope that that can generate some buzz, get some more sales going early, and kind of get people more excited about the pool, and then alleviate any lines or any wait that people have to go through to be able to purchase those when the pool season does roll around. So with that, we have two items to request. One of them would be the the council's approval of the pay scale for 2014, and the next would be the council's approval of pre-sale season passes for the pool this year.
Thank you, Molly. Who's on that committee? You two? Okay. You guys have anything you want to add?
No, that sums it up.
Okay. All right. Any questions of Molly about her two motions she's asking us to approve? No? All right. At this time, then, I'd entertain a motion to approve the changes to the 2014 Othello Community Pool employee pay scale.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Second motion is to approve the pre-sale of the 2014 Othello Community Pool season passes at a discount of $10 off the regularly priced individual passes and $15 off the regularly priced family passes. I'd entertain a motion to approve that.
I'll make that motion.
Dan made the motion.
Second.
John seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. Per Othello Municipal Code 2.36110B, titled Civil Service, the mayor shall appoint the civil service commissioners. In an explanation of the Othello Municipal Code, Chapter 2.36, it provides for civil service. only have the Police Civil Service Commission and no longer provide civil service for the fire department. According to the Municipal Code of Othello, the mayor shall appoint 3 eligible Othello citizens to be members of the Civil Service Commission. Citizen Roy Dodge resigned from the Civil Service Commission last year, and we have an opening. We have 1 citizen has applied for the vacancy. This is a 6-year term and shall expire March 20th, 2020. Civil Service Commissioners abide by RCW 41.12 and their own adopted rules and regulations. That citizen happens to be our former mayor who made application for that vacancy. And so at this time, I would like to appoint Tim Wilson as the 3rd commissioner to the Othello Civil Service Commission. Okay. Item 5, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business that needs to come before the Othello City Council tonight? Hearing none, item 6, new business. Is there any new business that needs to come before the Othello City Council tonight? Hearing none, item 7, council will also receive department heads' January reports. I do have 1 mayor announcement. I will not be here for the March 10th regularly scheduled meeting. I'm going to be preparing for an exam in my business, and so I've talked to Ken Johnson, and he will conduct the meeting as the mayor pro tem. With that, I would like to adjourn this meeting to executive session, or actually I would like to move this meeting into executive session for potential litigation. That discussion will probably take the better part of a half an hour. And so with that, I'd like to have our city attorney, Catherine Wade, remain present, and the rest of the staff is free to go.